Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Thank you. And so this morning, I'd like us to begin the study of the book of Romans. We have concluded our study in Nehemiah. However, we're really not finished with this wonderful story. In some ways, we've just begun as we as a congregation seek with all of our heart to rise up in unity, to restore this congregation and this community. And so we're definitely going to be keeping many of those things in our mind. And I've personally been very challenged through that study. But I'd like to, as I mentioned, turn over now to the New Testament, to turn to this wonderful letter to the Romans. Some scholars have compared this book of Romans to Mount Everest due to the greatness of its theology, the doctrine that is expressed, and also the difficulty of interpretation of this book. Some theologians have said of this wonderful book that it is the greatest letter ever written. And I believe that alone would warrant our study and careful attention to each word contained in this incredible book. And I hope that you're excited as we start a new study this morning, and as we look at this book that so clearly outlines the heart of the gospel. And I hope that you're hungry for God's word. Imagine that you've labored hard all day long, and you've worked up an appetite, and you sit down to eat your favorite food. And what a delightful experience this is. How much more as we come to this amazing letter inspired by the Holy Spirit, will we delight to feast upon these spiritual riches. And so, some expectation here. My greatest desire is that as a church that we would encounter God through this study. I want to experience the gospel more clearly. I want us to grasp faith and grace and the life of the Spirit, which are so magnificently expressed in this letter. And ultimately, I want us to be transformed. I think of Brother Paul Lockman when I quote this passage, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This word transformed is the same word that's used to describe Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration when his earthly body was glorified. In Matthew 17, verse 2, we read the following, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. What a compelling picture of our sanctification. And surely Paul has this in mind when he writes Romans 12, verse 2. And so as we renew our mind in the gospel, it has a transforming effect upon our lives. We become in an ever-increasing degree more like Jesus. The study of Romans has the ability to work this effect in our lives. And so we want to grow personally, and we want to grow collectively. So we're going to begin this morning with Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And let me paint the setting real quick before we turn over there. According to F.F. Bruce, Paul wrote his letter to the Romans in 57 A.D. He writes from Corinth in the home of Gaius. While in Corinth, Paul has in mind to take up a collection for the Jerusalem church. He intends to deliver this offering himself. After this order of business, he intends to travel to Rome. Therefore, the letter to the Romans is to inform and to prepare the church at Rome for his visit. Chapter 1, verse 1, we have Paul's introduction, beginning now in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And so Paul introduces himself and addresses his hearers as a servant of Jesus Christ. This title holds deep meaning and serves as a key to a deeper understanding of Paul and the gospel that he preached. It sheds light on our identity as well as that of Christ. The word that our English Bibles translate as servant is the Greek word doulos. Doulos is a term used 150 times in the New Testament. According to MacArthur and other scholars, the word is mistranslated as servant and should always be translated as slave. The proper understanding of this word helps to bring the New Testament to life. Listen to the lament of the Scottish theologian Alexander MacLaurin concerning this word. He states, "It is a pity that our Bible has not rendered the title which Paul ever gives himself at the beginning of his letters by the simple word slave, instead of the feebler one, servant." We must at this point note our cultural barriers to understanding this word. Slavery is a vile word in our culture and brings horrific scenes to our mind. And I understand that there is a great cultural barrier which makes it very difficult to understand the world of the New Testament and Paul's original meaning. However, we need to interpret this word in its theological and historical context. First off, slavery is not prohibited in Scripture. The abuse of this practice is clearly condemned. For example, marriage is not prohibited. It is the abuse of this institution. It is marital unfaithfulness which is condemned in Scripture. In the ancient world, slavery was common and was not perceived in the same way that it is today. It was, in fact, a great honor in many instances to be a slave. If you belong to a wealthy house or to a king, you received great honor yourself due to association. You were provided for. While others struggled in poverty, by becoming a slave, all of your needs were met for the duration of your entire life. When Paul says that he is a slave of Christ, for him, it is a title that conveys great honor. The term is loaded with rich meaning and expresses our relationship to Christ. Other words cannot properly convey the heights and depths of understanding which are opened to us by this term, doulos. And so John the Baptist says in John chapter 1, verse 27, "Even he who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." That is to say, John the Baptist is not worthy to do the most menial task for King Jesus. He's not worthy to do the lowest job of the lowest slave. Yet Paul, in his opening address, has the special ability and privilege of being an ambassador, an apostle to the nations. What a privilege! What a high honor. And so this word helps us in so many different ways as we look throughout this book of Romans to understand many key ideas, and even further to understand the New Testament. And so I want you to understand that this is a very Jewish idea, as Don points out. It was natural for the Jews to consider themselves slaves of Yahweh. The expression appears repeatedly under the Old Testament. Characters such as Moses are referred to as the Lord's slave. The title fits perfectly within the Jewish narrative. God chose Israel to be his particular people. Israel belonged exclusively to the Lord and none other. The Lord had ownership over his people. He had purchased them. He had delivered them to be his people. However, the concept is much richer as a Christian. For Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." We have been purchased, and we are God's possession. And so while the concept of slavery to God would have been acceptable among Jewish thought, it would have been contradictory with Greek culture, which valued individual freedom. And we have this same cultural barrier, which consequently makes it difficult to accept the lordship of Jesus Christ. The word doulos highlights the Christian confession that Jesus is Lord. The term deflects glory away from man towards Christ. It beautifully serves to humble man while exalting Christ at the same time. Paul is a doulos, slave. Jesus is kurios, Lord. The word kurios, properly understood, is not a statement of Jesus' deity, although he is God, but rather it is a word to refer to a person exercising absolute authority and ownership rights. Likewise, it denotes an owner or master exercising full rights. Jesus is Lord and has complete control, dominion, and kingship. Therefore, these words, kurios, master, and doulos, slave, fit together seamlessly to shed light upon our New Testament relationship with Jesus. Look at Philippians 2, 9 through 11. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so Paul, by addressing himself as a slave of Christ, he is telling the Romans that he has bowed the knee to Jesus, and that he has confessed Jesus as Lord, as absolute authority, as having absolute authority and being the master of his life. And so the meaning of this word, as expressed by Bruce, is that Paul is completely at his master's disposal. McLaurin, referring to Paul's reference to being a slave, says, "It is the most uncompromising assertion of the most absolute authority on the one hand, and claim of unconditional submission and subjection on the other. And I also want to submit to you this morning that this term, to the fullest extent, stresses the trustworthiness of Paul. That is to say, whatever you say, Lord, I will obey. Wherever you send, I will go. I am at your disposal. I will not hesitate to obey you in all things. To say that trustworthiness is meaningful to the Lord would be an understatement. God's great problem is that He can't just trust anybody. Would you trust just anyone with your resources? Would you trust just anyone with your life? One of the highest praises that anyone might receive is to be called trustworthy. And at the same time, I can't think of too many things that are worse that you could say about someone's character than, I don't trust this person. The trust that we are speaking about this morning comes from faithfulness, consistency, and obedience. If a king does not trust his slave, the slave is of little to no use to him. God requires for us to be trustworthy. And so we might ask, how does God determine if we are trustworthy or not? It is through whether or not we obey His voice. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we read in the first verse concerning Abraham. After these things, God tested Abraham. You see, God needed to know if His servant Abraham was trustworthy. He needed to determine if he was willing to submit to Him as master and Lord of his life. And so as we continue, and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. And so just consider this situation that Abraham finds himself in. This is a very dangerous place to be. For what if God tells you to do something that you don't want to do? It's dangerous to surrender to the Lord and to have this perspective that, Lord, I'm willing to do anything that you tell me to do. Obeying God is not always easy. Paul responding to false apostles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, speaking of the difficulties of obeying Jesus, he writes these words beginning in verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, with more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from these things, there are the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And what I want us to see this morning is that Paul could have easily said, I'm going to stay in Jerusalem, and I'm going to teach only when it's safe to do so. I'm going to be the Lord of my own life. And perhaps we might not have even known who Paul was if he had have disobeyed the call of God upon his life. But as we have seen, Paul puts no limitations on what he is willing to do for his master. And Paul can say boldly, with a clear conscience, as he speaks to Agrippa in Acts 26, verse 19, "Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Romans 1, 1. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Is this starting to make sense? Paul identified himself as a slave who is willing to do whatever his master told him. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do things that seem impossible. For Abraham, he was commanded to sacrifice Isaac, his most prized treasure, upon the altar. And for Paul, as he tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." And so Paul has done this very thing. He has offered his life upon the altar as a living sacrifice. He is dead to himself. He has been baptized with Christ, and he has been raised again to newness of life, and he is not his own. He was bought with a price, and the life he now lives, he lives not for himself, but for his master and his God. He is dead to the world. And he has obeyed to the fullest extent the word of the king. And now the inclination of his heart is to follow after the Spirit. The Lord is a jealous God. He will not allow us to serve more than one master. Consider the result of Abraham's obedience, his willingness to do whatever the Lord told him to do. Genesis 22, as we continue in verse 16. The Lord speaking, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore." And so I hope that we can see this morning that surrendering to the will of King Jesus is the answer to the outpouring of God's favor and blessing in our lives. The Father's pleasure is with obedient children. Offering yourself as a living sacrifice is the secret to the Christian life. And there is no way around this. It is the prerequisite to all spiritual blessings and intimacy with the Lord. However, the flesh wants to sidestep the altar, but it must be put to death by the Spirit. And so, in reflection this morning, does God trust you? He trusted Abraham, and he sure trusted Paul. He knew that when he gave Paul something to do. Paul was going to quickly obey him in all ways. Have you submitted to the lordship of Jesus? Do you consider yourself his slave? Are you willing to obey him in all things in respect to the specific call that is upon your life? Have you offered yourself as a living sacrifice? This morning, our discussion is not abstract or mere theory, but it applies to every single one of us. Your calling will probably look different from Abraham. It will probably look different from the Apostle Paul. My message this morning is not that the Lord is calling you to be shipwrecked or to be persecuted perhaps in the same way as the Apostle Paul. My message this morning is not that you are to offer your son on the altar, but it is a condition of the mind. It is a condition of the heart that we confess Jesus Christ as sovereign, as Lord of our life, and we submit ourselves as his slaves, willing to serve him in whatever way. Many times it can be perhaps more difficult to serve God in this country, and it can be easy to go over and die in a foreign country. Maybe God is calling us to submit to him in our workplace, in our families, to be a living sacrifice, to love one another sacrificially. But this is the call of God upon our life. And so the Lord has the incredible ability to lead us. He is a shepherd to his people. Our job is to say yes to him. And I want to be truthful with you this morning. This text has particularly gripped me. This study has really challenged the deep recesses of my heart, and I feel that the Lord is desiring for me to ask the Lord to be completely open before him and say, Lord, I am willing to do whatever you tell me to do. This can be terrifying. This can be very scary to the flesh, and I would appeal to you to join me and to be bold and to be willing to submit to the Lord in your life and to perhaps go home this evening, or maybe it's your desire to do it this very morning, but to open yourself to the Lord, to trust him and to say, King Jesus, I am willing to do whatever you tell me to do. If you command me to do something, if you show me something in your scripture, I am willing to submit myself to your kingship, to your lordship, and to follow you in whatever way. And I pray that this is your desire. Are you willing to tell the Lord that you are his slave and that he is your king? And are you willing to do whatever he tells you to do? And I believe with all of my heart that if someone were to have this state of mind, how quickly would the Lord begin to lead them in a whole new way and direct their path and teach them, this is where I want you to go. These are the scriptures I want you to obey. This is the call that I have for you in your life. I believe this all begins in baptism, as we commit ourselves to him by dying to ourselves, being buried with him in baptism, having our sins washed away, and rising to newness of life in order that we might serve him in this same obedient way. And maybe you've drifted from the Lord this morning and you've said, I have been withholding from God. I have not been obedient. And maybe it's your desire to submit to him this morning and pray for restoration. We want to offer you that opportunity as we stand and sing our invitational song this morning.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call, and let's talk about your soul. You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast times. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. With the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.